Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with Canadian singer and guitarist Corey Marks. In our conversation, Corey talks about his home in Upper Ontario and his 3.5-hour drive to Toronto. Corey tells us about his career path as a singer after growing up playing hockey and going to the Royal Academy to become a fighter pilot. Corey describes starting on drums and moving to guitar, playing clubs at a young age, and he tells us about his love of hard rock and his love of country, which is apparent on his new album, Sorry for Nothing, Volume 2, produced by Kevin Cherko. Corey tells us about his guitars, a Stonebridge acoustic, and a Gretchen Godin Electrics through a Strymon Iridium pedal. Corey describes having both a US and a Canadian-based band and his tour schedule, including coming up supporting Seven Dust, just him and an acoustic guitar. Finally, Corey talks about getting engaged and his love of flying and hockey and his love of fellow Canadian Brian Adams. To find out more about Corey, you can go to his website, CoreyMarks.com. That's CoreyMarks.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my buddy Corey. There you are.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, James. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. It's an honor. where are you at right now?
I'm just at home in Sturgeon Falls, just outside of North Bay where I'm from.
Okay. Is that near Ontario?
Yeah, it's in Ontario, Northern Ontario.
Okay.
Gateway to the North, as they call it, about 3.5 hours north of Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So just logistically, like when you have to go do stuff, how long does it take you to get to an airport or something?
Well, North Bay's got an airport, but I typically, and there's another place called Sudbury, but I typically fly to Toronto, so I drive 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, every time, man.
So it's an event. If you're going to play somewhere, it's an event.
Oh, yeah, always, man. Always. It's a trek.
Oh, man. So I saw that you had three different career paths, and you chose music. But what kept you from playing playing hockey, and especially with your brother playing hockey?
Well, you know, I think I did that. I always asked him. I don't know how he ended up. You know, he could continue the physicality part of it, and even into the late 20s. Because, man, I play a beer league tournament or something over the weekend, and I'm hurting for 3 or 4 days. So. But I think, you know, as a corny cliche or whatever it may sound, I think music just found me. I've always loved it. And, you know, started off as a drummer, obviously, but then doing the singer songwriting and playing guitar, it just kind of went hand in hand. And
sure.
I guess I'm right where I'm supposed to be, as they say.
So you started as a drummer. How old were you when you started as a drummer?
Probably 9 or 10.
Okay.
You know, when I got my first drum kit. And, but you know, that before that, I was getting out of, you know, getting kicked out of class for drumming on the desks and stuff like that.
Yep.
And being that kind of brat. So, my parents had to get me a drum set, and that's where it all started.
Do you remember what kind of drum set? Was it like out of Sears or Montgomery Ward's or?
Honestly, it was my first real kit. My dad got off a friend, and he even, my dad even made like the head for the bass drum. It was like very customized, home built kit, to start, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they got me a set of, I think there's 74 Ludwigs, which are, I bought them from a high school, and, yeah, and then some Asama extra like rototoms and stuff. So I had my big Neil Peart kit that I wanted.
You got, if it's from the 70s, you got to have the rototoms.
You got to, hell yeah.
And were you playing, so did you start playing in bands when you're playing drums?
Yeah, you know, I was in a high school band, and then, you know, when I was 14, I really started jamming with my buddy, who was a guitar, really good guitar player. So at 14, you know, we were playing like Dream Theater and Rush and Van Halen and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It progressed into my teens. At 16, I got into a metal band called Inflict, and that was very much like Lamb of God mixed with Pantera.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Exactly. When did you start playing guitar?
I didn't start playing guitar till I was later days in high school, 17. Just kind of dad taught me a few chords, and I had some buddies that played guitar, and you know, all the girls seem to be more attracted to the guitar players, not the drummers. So I tried my best, but I think it was a little too late.
you really think that the girls were attracted to the guitar players, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It seemed to be.
And so were you, so you're learning guitar, you're writing songs. Are you playing at like local, you know, local bars and stuff like that?
Yeah, I was playing in bars up here, you know, before I was even legal age. So,
what
I
is
guess
the legal
that
age
was
up there?
19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I was pretty much fresh out of high school, and I had a band called Trio, where it was, you know, the band leader and singer from my high school, my high school band, and one of his buddies who was a bass player. So it was just a 3-piece playing anything from Van Halen to Katy Perry to, you know, the bar stuff. But it was a lot of fun because I you know, we did the songs our own way. So, you know, there was, you know, it's not often you hear Katy Perry, "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It," with some double bass and some Portnoy-like fills. So yeah, I was all about that.
And so when did you get the sort of the country bug?
Well, I grew up, you know, I grew up on, you know, Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, and my parents, you know, both my parents listened to a variety of music, but, you know, there was the classic country, which I always loved just because of the stories behind it. And of course the iconic voices. But you know, on my dad's side, it was like Rush and Grand Funk and all that good stuff. But so country's always been, you know, in my blood, really. And and I've been listening to it at an early age. Like, you know, I remember mom doing her hair on Sunday or Saturday morning, listening to CMT, you know, with all the classics with like Garth and Alan Jackson, those guys. So it was always in my house. So I, you know, I was always, always a fan of it.
Yeah. And the mashup, for lack of a better term, the mashup of heavy rock and country, like, was that your idea, or is that like, did a producer come to you and say, "Hey, let's do this"?
It was always my idea to mix both those genres, because I love them so much. And then, you know, there's a kind of a, how do I mix, you know, Merle Haggard and Ozzy Osbourne? But you know, eventually, you know, I found that producer, and it was Kevin Churko, and we really just created this. I mean, it was mostly him, but just created this sound that's the way I like to describe it. It's like Merle Haggard meets Eric Church meets Ozzy Osbourne. Sure, and it's all kind of mashed up together. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I mean, it's beyond Ozzy Osbourne. There's some pretty sick drum riffs in there. Pretty sick guitar riffs in there.
Well, you can add, I guess, some Pantera to that too, then.
Where did you record it?
I recorded most of the stuff now at the last few years with Kevin at the Hideout Studio in Las Vegas.
Okay. Oh, wow, in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another journey for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been great. And that's, I always found that cool, is, you know, writing and recording country music or country rock out of Vegas instead of, you know, the norm hub, which was Nashville. So I, you know, I was an outsider right from the get go.
Yeah. Yeah. So does he play guitar on the stuff as a producer? Is he playing guitar?
Yeah. Him and Kane played some guitar. I played some acoustic, but Kevin and I both did the drums on the records and took, you know, parts in playing those. So, and then we hired some of his hired guns that he knows very well and you know, made the magic happen.
Sure. And do you have a say in who's playing on what?
A guy like that, I just trust them, and yeah, you know, it's either, "Hey, can we change this," or "have, you know, do this." And the guys are all great players and great musicians, so they make it easy for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when you're playing live, are you're playing acoustic guitar?
Acoustic and electric, yeah. But mostly acoustic, and then I put the guitars down and entertain and try to get the crowd going as best as possible.
Exactly. what kind of acoustics are you playing?
For the last 10 years, I've been playing a Stonebridge guitar. So it's like a mix. Best way to describe it, it's got like a Gibson body with a Martin neck and headstock. Wow. And it's like Czech Republic guitar. It's a
really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's real. Well, made in the Czech, but I forget where they're coming out of now. But it's a beautiful guitar, and crafted in Cambridge, which is about 4.5 hours south of here. Not in the Toronto area, and yeah, it's a beautiful guitar.
How'd you come across those?
My management at the time back when it first started, had a connection with them. So we said, we got to get you a nice guitar.
Yeah.
And we went into that shop and, you know, bought my first real guitar, and they gave me a good artist discount and everything. So yeah, been working with them since.
Yeah. What about electric? What are you playing for electric?
I got my first electric, for Christmas, I guess 4 or 5 years ago now. And it's this Gretsch guitar with the Bigsby on it and everything. And, yeah. I love that thing, but I've never played a show with that guitar. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, I reached out to a company called Godin Guitars. It's out of Quebec,
yeah,
Canada.
Yes, of course.
And, and love them. They're it's a great guitar and a lot of fun to play.
Yep, of course. And have you had to switch the strings on change strings on the Gretsch yet with the Bigsby?
I haven't yet, but I'll definitely hand that over to my guitar tech.
Exactly. That's yeah. That's very wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't mess around.
What do you have for an amp?
Right now I'm using the Iridium pedal. So okay. I usually use the Marshall stacks. It just looks cool at a country show. But yeah. I've been using this Iridium guitar pedal, and it's such a great little thing. Like it's got the tone and everything that works for my show perfectly. And I know a lot of these great guitar players have used them before too. And it's got everything I need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And on the acoustics, does it have onboard electronics?
Yeah. So this thing is it's actually really cool. So it doesn't take a battery. I actually charge it with a quarter inch. You just plug it in the wall, and it stays charged for a very long time. So I don't even have volume or anything on my guitar. It's just straight up plug in the wireless, and it's all controlled by by Simon, my front of house.
Oh, right on. That's cool.
That's nice and easy.
So you basically you're packing two guitars when you're leaving?
Yeah. Yeah. Two guitars is kind of my weapons of choice. Yeah. Sure. That's all I have. Then one acoustic and my electric.
And where's your band located?
Most of them are out of Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto area. Yeah. Yeah. And I have some guys up in Nashville too. If we're heading over and, you know, need a band down there. So.
Sure. So basically you have two bands.
In a way. Yeah. It's just, cause sometimes it's, you know, as you know, touring's expensive. So instead of getting flights for everybody, sometimes I'll just say, you know what, it's a one-off. Exactly. We're just going to use the American kids. Well, it's funny because one of them actually is Canadian too, but he's lived in Nashville for 7 or 8 years.
Okay. And what's your tour schedule look like?
Well, this year, I mean, I've played in 7 or 8 different countries. I've played around 70 shows. Wow. So far. And I have this U.S. tour coming up with Seven Dust. It's the Southside Double Wide Tour, acoustic tour. So it'll just be me, my guitar, the songs, and the fans. And, wow. That'll be 22 dates from November 14th to December 12th.
So just you and acoustic.
That's it.
Wow. That's with Seven Dust?
That's with Seven Dust, yeah.
How do you think, are you worried about how you're going to go over? Or you've probably done it before, but that's pretty that's pretty bold.
I did it with Theory of a Dead Man. Okay. And typically in my live shows at the full band, I always have, lately with the new album that's out, Sorry for Nothing, Volume 1, and of course Volume 2 coming out on Friday, I've been ending my set with, even after Outlaws and Outsiders and Blame It on the Doubles, the encore is just me and my guitar, and I thank the crowd, and I play Sorry for Nothing, just me and my acoustic, so it's a cool little moment. But this, you know, I was a little skeptical, and like, man, I don't know, Seven Dust is pretty heavy, so how am I going to go about it? But I think I'm just going to get up and do my thing, and if they love it, great, and if they don't, that's great too.
Sure, yeah, yeah. What's it like traveling, north of Toronto in winter? Like, so if you have to go, you know, if you're going to play in Texas...
Yeah,
or the House of Blues.
You gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Yeah. So how do you? What I mean, how sketch is it to drive from where you are to Toronto in the middle of winter, or the beginning of winter?
You know what? It's not bad. It's very similar to, you know, places like Chicago and New York or Buffalo, stuff like that, right? I mean, they get just as much snow as we do, and the highways are nice and we're well groomed typically. So it's not too bad. And I've been doing it since I was a kid with my dad and going to hockey tournaments and stuff. So yeah. it's really no, you know, surprise to me or any difficulty.
And you trained to be a fighter pilot?
That was the goal. I signed up at RMC, the Royal Military College of Canada, and enrolled as a pilot with hopes of being a fighter pilot. And I was on the hockey team there at the university, but I ended up picking up this guitar and had some better options, so I decided to stick with it and see where it took me.
You didn't have to take as many orders.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
How much time do you spend in Nashville now?
I'm there quite often, but I go down there for 2 weeks at a time, depending. If I need to stay longer, I will. Like, I literally just got back yesterday. I was there for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And, I did this festival up in Quebec, and the last festival of the summer for me. And so because the travel was so far away, I left home on the Tuesday, came home Friday evening, and I was on the road by early afternoon Saturday for Toronto to fly out to Nashville for 2 weeks. So I've basically been gone for almost 3 weeks now, and just got home yesterday. So.
Wow. Are you married?
Yeah. Engaged. Yeah. Engaged. Got engaged last March, or I guess not last March. It's been over a year now.
Yeah.
And I decided to pop the question at in Pittsburgh at the Paints Arena while at a Bryan Adams concert.
Oh, really?
So it was,
right on.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it was a pretty cool moment.
Right on. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Actually, the way we're celebrating the new album, Sorry for Nothing Volume 2, that comes out this Friday.
Yeah.
So we're driving down to Toronto because Bryan Adams is playing the Rogers Center. So we're going to
go.
That'll be our fourth time seeing him now in like the last 3 years or something.
Right on.
Yeah.
Are you a big fan of Bryan Adams? It must be.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Oh, I think, you know, he's all around just he's a goat, you know, and he's just great lyrically, and obviously vocals. It's captivating. It's just really good overall. Sure. I love it.
And what's your favorite album of his?
I mean, I'd have to say Reckless, because it's, you know, it's got 7 out of 10 are massive hits. So,
sure.
But I it's hard now because now with Apple and these DSPs and streaming profiles, it's like you kind of listen to, you know, I love Cuts Like a Knife.
Yeah.
You know, and there's songs of Waking Up the Neighbors that are great too. But so when it's on a shuffle, I just listen to whatever it is, because, sure, you know, it's really tough. Actually, I would say it's between Reckless and 18 Till I Die, because that album, I think, is just so kick-ass.
Uh-huh.
from the love songs to the oh, feel-good, yeah, upbeat songs, 18 Till I Die. And it's the first album I ever got. I bought it for my mom for Easter.
Oh, right on.
And I was like 8 years old.
Right on. That's great. So you're up. I'm assuming you're in the wilderness somewhat. Like, what do you do for fun?
Well, I fly as much as I can.
Okay.
And mostly when I'm home, you know, just try to spend as much time with friends and family, and,
yeah,
you know, throw a few back on the weekends, of course, is always, yeah, fun for me. I just fly. And like in the winter, you know, I'm on some hockey teams. When I'm home, I'll get called up to go play some hockey. So
right,
I still
on.
Try to get up. Still try to get on the ice when I can. And my dad's 69. He'll be 69 in December, and he still plays anywhere from 1 to 4 times a week. So right, it's pretty awesome.
How's his, yeah, teeth?
They're all fake. I'm the only one in the family with real teeth. So I'll knock on wood.
Because, yeah,
my brother, obviously being a pro professional player too, he's had some knocked out. My dad was, I think he was 20 or 21. He took a puck to the mouth and lost all four.
So, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually now in the last 3 years, and I get chirped about it in tournaments, because I wear a cage now. I used to not have anything into my mid-20s, and then I put one on because I got a few sticks and stuff, and then,
yeah,
I thought I'd rather pay $40 for this cage and have to kick someone's ass if I have to for chirping me,
yeah,
than $4,000 a tooth.
Damn straight.
You know, so, and I got away with it for this long. I'm like, you know what, fuck it, it's time. It's, yeah, time to protect the face.
If people want to get all, you know, see what you're doing and everything, it's coreymarks.com.
CoreyMarks.com and at CoreyMarks Music on all socials like Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, of course. And yeah. CoreyMarks.com has the merch, all the tour dates, everything you need.
Right on. Right
on. Of course.
It's been wonderful talking to you, Corey. I hope to catch you. If you ever make it out, I'm in Northern California. If you make it out here, then I'm going to come catch you.
I'd love to get out in California, man. That's one place I've only been a couple times, and obviously, you know, Myrtle from Bakersfield or Oildale, California. You know, it's you know, there's a lot there that I admire and want to check out, and I really hope to play a lot more Carolina. California. Yeah. So you know, when I'm down there and we're nearby, because California is a lot like Ontario, right? It could take 13 hours to get from one side to the other.
Absolutely.
And
speaking of Merle, so he grew up in Bakersfield, Oildale.
Yep.
But when he made some money, he moved up to Lake Shasta, which is completely other side of the state.
it's funny because when I shot my music video for Blame It on the Double, I was out there to meet, I drove from Vegas, which was beautiful. Uh-huh. I drove from Vegas to shoot this video with Tyler Connelly of Theory of the Dead Man, Jason Hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing I did, I said, shit, I'm only like an hour from Oildale just to go see his old, you know, where he lived, his house. And I said, oh man, you know what? I'd love to go see Lake Shasta. So I type it into my, I'm like, oh, 13 and a half hours. I ain't making that. So I'll have to tour California so I could, you know, I could go see these places and that would just be wonderful.
Yeah. Did you go by Buck Owens's Crystal Palace?
I didn't know. No, because it was just quick. I was there for like a day.
Unfortunately, they're going to close it pretty soon, but it's a venue that you can play.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't. You should look into playing there before they shut it down.
Well, I'd love that, man. I got to make my way to California sooner or later because it's. I know there's fans down there, and it's a place that I haven't really got to see a whole lot of. So I'd love to.
You have at least one fan. It's me.
Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, right. Thank you, man.
Well, keep sharing the music. Corey.
Yeah, you too, James, and we'll see you down the road soon, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely. Right on. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.